Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello and welcome. Thank you again for coming back, joining with me as we continue on our Bible study series in the book of James. Now at the moment we're in chapter 3, partway through chapter 3, looking at verses 13 through 18. I have a little heading in my Bible that says, Heavenly versus Demonic Wisdom. But as we read the beginning, as I like to do at each video, read what we're then going to go through, I'm going to go back a couple of verses. Understanding, of course, that in the original text, these breaks and these headings that we have now to help us sort of learn, find, and grasp hold of the text, they weren't there in the original writings. So let's continue on today. We're going to look at chapter 3 of James, but I'm going to read now from verse 9. Follow along with me, then we'll come back for discussion. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men. This is referring to the tongue, the untamable tongue, which we spoke about in the previous video. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Oh, my brethren, brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? No spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wow, what a beautiful section of scripture. I love verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's something to aspire to. Yeah, absolutely. But let's come back now to verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Let him demonstrate it. Let him show it by his actions, by the works, by good conduct, by manner of living is what we see here. The King James says, out of good conversation, following on, of course, directly from the untamable tongue. That his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Your works. Yes, your works. This is the often the unspoken communication. And we see this a lot between husbands and wives, this unspoken communication between brothers and sisters, siblings, twins, most certainly. This unspoken communication is a part of this. And surely you've said something to someone one time and they've replied favorably, but you see in their body language and the breath and the dropping of the shoulders or the tightening perhaps. And you see this other thing which is in direct opposition to what they have said. Between husbands and wives, we see this a lot. One thing is said, another thing is shown. It should not be so. Truly, it should not. The unison of the husband and wife, the marriage in that beautiful context there should be, and I'm looking at it from a husband's point of view here, that if we see our wife and we see without her even speaking that there is some distress by her body language, by the way and the manner in which she moves and walks and perhaps talks, that we should see and move into comfort. If we're in a public situation, a setting, perhaps just to hold her hand and if necessary, just to whisper something beautiful in her ear. These unspoken communications are a part of this. I really would like you to consider and understand that also. The best example I can think of this in the reverse is the teenager. Yes, I have to say it is the teenager. where they emphasize everything. Oh, well, I just think that that's such a good idea. Not. They're so clearly outward. But as we become older, as we grow and become more subtle in our mannerisms. But we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let everyone, this is you, this is me, who names the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. And in the context of what we're looking at here, this is our speech. This is our conversation. This is, I think, better to say our communication, understanding that our body language can be a part of this. John 13:35 says, Jesus speaking, by this we'll all know that you are my disciples if you have a love for one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, yes. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, the gentle, the mild. This is not proud wisdom that we're talking about here. This is wisdom that should come from God, through the Word, from the Holy Spirit. Not just from your study of it, which comes with pride. This is meek. This is gentle. This is humble. Colossians 3 tells us that we are to put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created us. And the renewed in knowledge, it comes from this, but true knowledge in this brings humility, not pride. Verse 14 says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, that's that selfish ambition in your hearts, and do not boast and lie against the truth. I love it how in Philippians 2 verse 3, and I'll read this, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Listen carefully, folks. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own, but also the interests of others. This is the exact opposite of selfish ambition. Self-seeking ambition, which is what we're talking about and reading about here. This wisdom, verse 15, does not descend from above, but is earthly, it is sensual, it is demonic. And that's a hard-hitting word, but that selfish ambition is exactly that. Wisdom that comes from the world, wisdom that comes from the flesh, wisdom that comes from the enemy. Worldly wisdom. I see this a lot, particularly in my circle for men in business, Christian men in business, seeking worldly wisdom, wisdom outside of Scripture, looking at guidance coming from outside of Scripture. And often we follow then in our flesh, following our desires instead of that of the Word. This is what earthly wisdom leads to. Earthly wisdom leads to seeking the desires of the flesh. And the enemy, they're all over it, looking at ways to trick us, ways to fool us, looking for that half-truth, that little half-truth about Scripture. And I see this so much in business circles, Christian business circles I'm talking about. Half-truths. Let's just take this. It sounds good. And oh, yes, I know there's truth here. But now let's expand that and add in our philosophy, our human philosophy with it. It's a great failing, a huge failing amongst Christian business circles at the moment. And in verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. This is the end result, folks. This is the end result of this demonic, earthly, sensual wisdom. Verse 17, but in the Greek, I love this. I've mentioned this many times in my videos, but, de in the Greek, but meaning moreover. Now listen carefully to this, but listen carefully to this. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Note that wisdom is needed here first. The wisdom that is from above, it is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, to not put self first. It is full of mercy, good fruits without partiality. Not putting one over the other, not showing favoritism that we've spoken about in earlier videos. It is without hypocrisy. And I remember one time saying to me, part of a conversation, I was mentioning obviously the work that I do in sort of working in men's ministry and so on. Oh, yes, yes, I believe in Jesus. My answer, I think, floored them. I said, I don't believe you. What? They had no fruit in their lives. None. None whatsoever. It was lip service Christianity. Not even, I think it's blasphemous to even call that Christianity. Our fruit, if it's not yet evident to you from the study we've done thus far, we're only halfway through, James, our fruit shows our faith. This is important in understanding. Verse 18, look at that. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And a question, just a question. Is your fruit on a Sunday after the meeting, you know, what here we might call church part two, where we gather in the kitchen and the dining room area and share tea and coffee and chat and fellowship and catch up. But is your fruit running around the church, creating discord amongst the brethren, the brothers and sisters in Christ? Is your fruit, I ask the question only, not accusing, but is your fruit questioning and creating doubt amongst the brothers? That's the exact opposite of what James is talking about here. Go back, look at verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Wisdom from above, first pure. Peaceable. Gentle. Willing to yield. You don't have to prove your point. It's full of mercy. This, a study for another time, mercy, and I haven't checked here, but I would bet in the Greek, charis, not sure of the pronunciation, but this word which refers to mercy in the Old Testament so often, hesed, it is both a heart's attitude and an action at the same time. It's not just, yeah, whatever. No, it's mercy. It's the mercy which God has shown to us, the favor which God has shown to us through his Son. And yet, whilst we were still, what? Sinners, the word says. Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything for it. We couldn't work our way towards it. He did this for us, yet knowing that we were sinners, and only then through such sacrifice and that blood of the new covenant could our sins be washed clean. That's mercy, folks. That's mercy. One who doesn't deserve it. And the wisdom from above is also full of good fruit. There is no partiality, there is no hypocrisy. Say one thing, speak another. And we're all guilty in some way, in some manner, of failing in this area. Please understand that. I've seen pastors do this as well, putting one, showing favor above another. We see this all of the time. We are but men. But in the doing so, I pray that you and I can look at this and pray about this and say, Father, grant me such wisdom. We see that in the beginning of James. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives freely, liberally, without reproach, without making one feel bad. That's wisdom, folks, from above. None of us are immune to foot-in-mouth disease, and this is where we see it most commonly, as I spoke about in the last video. So if we sum up, verse 18, the fruit of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. James chapter 3, it's really a biblical version of that. And it was a good book from a point of a worldly wisdom, but this is the biblical version of how to win friends and influence people. You've probably heard of that, and we make fun of it sometimes. But did you know someone also wrote a How to Lose Friends and Infuriate People? Isn't that what we do too often with our opinions? I like verse 6, where envy and self-seeking exist. Confusion. Every evil thing is there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Just meditate on this verse for me, will you? Then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and full of good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We can learn a lot from James chapter 3 in our manner of living and our manner of speech. All right, folks, thank you very much. We're going to finish it there. We're going to come back with starting in chapter 4 in the next video. I pray you'll have a blessed week and the favor of God be upon you and that you seek God for wisdom to understand these things. Bless you. Bye-bye.